And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Monday, November 6th. This is On Deck. I'm Steven Nesbitt. I'm joined by Levi Weaver. This is also, I gotta say, November 5th is my oldest boy's third birthday. We just finished a wonderful birthday. He met a pony named Scotty. Didn't want to ride on it. He got on it for 1 second. He was like, da-da. Get me up. So we saw some great horses, and he said good boy to all of them. Wasn't accurate necessarily, the boy thing, but he had a great time. How was your my son's birthday?
Outstanding. I played in a Sandlot costume baseball game, and I went 1-for-3, which was good. Scraped myself up on a little diving play that I was proud of, and everybody had a good time.
I can sign off. He showed us the scrape before we went on air. You're not going to see it. It's a like a premium paid level. Hey, Levi, you just got back from the World Dang Series. 5 games, the Texas Rangers won, and we planted our flag early on. We are a Pro Rangers, Pro Fish podcast, and that served us well. 2 playoff teams and the World Series winner. There's so much to say about this, but honestly, and so much has been said already, and you've written so much, but I was like, listen, Levi's here. He grew up a Rangers fan. He covered the team at a time when they were so bad that I was just so drawn to how creative you were. I literally, you can like subscribe to different writers on The Athletic. You see their stuff. I didn't know Levi at all. I wasn't in the baseball vertical here. And I subscribed to Levi's stuff because he was doing weird stuff. And I was like, this is great. This is how you cover a terrible team. I was in Pittsburgh. The Pirates were also terrible. And to see them go from like, you have to be creative and strange and doing mascot stories or whatever, or asking random questions to guys.
I almost did a rank 5 at the World Series. I was like this close, and I talked myself out of it.
You go from that to them having a star-studded Bruce Bochy-led team winning a World Series, and you're there in person. I just want to hear what that was like.
Dude, it was pretty easy. I basically took the first year of covering the team and learned how to be a journalist because I came from a music background. I was, you know, driving around the country playing shows. And I was a Rangers fan and had to learn, like, here's what you do, here's what you don't. And I felt like I had a pretty good read of the room. Like, I didn't make any big embarrassing mistakes. I didn't wear, like, you know, a Rangers cap to the press box or anything. But you just watch the professionals and do what they do and kind of learn. I mean, from a behavior standpoint, I know they were not writing, you know, about asking players to rank 5 random items from Wikipedia. But yeah, you know, you learn how to do that. You know, in those bad years, you have to separate it, because if you care whether they win or lose and they just lose for 6 straight seasons and you are either at the game or forced to watch all of every game, it becomes self-abuse at some point. And clock in, clock out, man, I got a job to do and enjoy that. And I always enjoyed the people that I worked around. And that really probably is where I want to go with this, is that there are so many good people in and around the Rangers organization. Just, you know, the front office is full of people. I was happy to hear Chris Young credit John Daniels in his acceptance speech, both in the ALCS and the World Series. JD had such a huge part in building this roster. The broadcasters, the just random scouts and people that you run into, and just good people that I was so, so happy for them to get to finally win a World Series. And so when it came time then, you know, to be in the World Series press box, there was part of me that pop its head up once in a while, and it'd be like little 10-year-old me, like, they're doing what? You get to be here for what? And then I push it back down, like, no, we got live blogs to do, and we got the newsletter to write, and we got stories to write, like, this is, we got work to do. For me, the moment that I will never, ever forget, that honestly is so special to me that I will never be able to, I don't think, process just how big it is I was writing a story about Eric Nadell. He's been the Rangers play-by-play broadcaster since 1979. Little backstory on me, I think we've mentioned this here before, that my dad was a professional rodeo cowboy, and we would drive around from, you know, rodeo to rodeo and listen to Mark Holtz and Eric Nadell on WBAP 820, which kept their signal up all night. I remember hearing it as far northwest as Walla Walla, Washington at one point. I did not, as you can probably tell, really take to the rodeo life. And there were times that, you know, the family would be watching a rodeo and I'd take the truck keys and go back and sit in the truck and listen to baseball. So Nadal was like the voice of my childhood and helped me learn the sport and helped me understand the rules and, you know, learn the who the players were. And so in the bottom of the ninth inning, I went down into the radio booth. I'd cleared this with him before. I didn't just pop in, but went down into the radio booth and I got to film from behind him as Josh Spores throws that last pitch. And you can see that happening off in the distance and it's blurry. I'm filming Nadal making that final call of a World Series that he's been with the team 45 years now and finally got to call a World Series winner. Was so close in 2011, and just talking to him, like, that bothered him that he was so close and it didn't happen, you know. For me, like, the celebration was great. It was cool to be in the room and see that firsthand and, you know, come home with some sticky beer-smelling shoes. And if I hadn't been in the radio booth, maybe that would have been the moment that I took home from it, is just watching all these people, you know, Emily Jones, who has been there for forever, the sideline reporter, and she loves those guys and their wives, and they call her mom, and she's just like such an integral part of the Rangers community. And, you know, Jared Sandler, just all these people that are there, and the front office people that just don't get any recognition at all, watching them be so happy was amazing. But for me, it was being in the booth. And that was the thing I think I can still wear my fan cap on. Like, you know, I can be an objective journalist and write about the team and you know, take that fan cap off. But I'm a fan of Eric. He's just such a great dude and a bigger honor than I even know how to say, being in the booth when that happened.
The video of Nadal, that last pitch, is so good. And so many people pointed it out. I was looking, I mean, because that, like, your story went viral, because it should have. It was amazing. Was the moment where he, like, collapses back in his chair after 20 seconds or so of just being like, you're not dreaming, this is real, it happened. And it's like, you just feel the weight of 45 years and 2010, 2011. 1979, the Pirates won the last World Series, and now people talk about how long it's been since they won a World Series. That's so long ago. The players you're talking about, he was, like, calling their games back when he was a rookie broadcaster back then. That's an incredible career, and especially for what he went through this year with having to step away for a while, dealing with mental health. He was open about that. He talked really eloquently about that. I texted you before game five and said, hey, like, you're in Phoenix. Please tell me we're having you write a column about essentially what I'm asking you to talk about tonight. What was it like watching that team finally win? You said, hey, we got, you know, other stuff going. I'm actually writing about Eric Nadal, and I think it's going to kind of serve the same purpose. And when I read the story, I was like, yeah, it did. Because you're telling your story in there as well, like the story, the years that you watched, the years that were completely empty, the highs just before you covered the team, and also stuff way before you were watching that he got to experience. That was awesome. I hope you felt fulfilled by that story.
Yeah, when I first got there, you know, there was a little sense of like, oh man, I'm not really the beat writer anymore. And Cody Stavenhagen's here, and he did a phenomenal job stepping in and he did a better job than I would have. I'm not being like, that's not false humility. He killed the Rangers coverage and did it in such a good way. Then we also had Ken there, he's writing about it. And Tyler Kepner's there, and he's a legend. And Andy McCullough is doing his thing. And I'm like, the first couple of games, I'm like looking around like, what do I do? I don't, you know, I'm grateful to get to be here, but like, this is all kind of covered. I don't want to just sit back. And then when I had the idea for the Nadal story, I'm like, all right, this is my lane. I'm gonna make sure we do this right.
Yeah, and you did. Hey, let's go talk some baseball. But
let's do it.
Wow, what a run, and I'm so glad you're able to do that. I will throw in here right now the wind up the newsletter you started and took over and ran alongside a bunch of editors, a bunch of people, and of course Ken Rosenthal. Finished its regular season mode, it's moving to off-season mode, and it's going to be twice a week from here on out, and so you're still going to get everything you need from the newsletter. Just Levi's going to get hopefully a little more sleep.
Yeah. I still haven't caught up from the World Series. Oof.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
All right, Levi, plenty to go through, and I'm just going to kind of hit it like bullet point notes. You jump in when you want to, because a lot has happened. So the big thing that's happening this week is Shohei Ohtani is officially available. He is a free agent. Anybody who has a spare $500 million lying around can feel free to try to bring him onto your team. I've heard he fits pretty much any roster. He actually only takes one roster spot, and give him a year. He can do two things for you. He can pitch as well as hit. But that's kind of old news. We spent the whole summer talking about this guy, and we'll see where he goes. You'll see plenty more on our site. The news today, which is Sunday as we record, is Peter Bendix, the GM of the Rays, is going to head over to the Marlins. This wasn't really a surprise. Well, sorry. The direction isn't a surprise, given that Marlins owner Bruce Sherman had come out and said, hey, we want to be like the Rays. And so how do you be like the Rays? Well, you grab their GM, who was their number two, like, effectively. Because the titles are what they are now. They have president of baseball ops over there. So it makes sense. The interesting thing Ken Rosenthal mentioned as he reported this was that Chaim Bloom, who was fired by the Red Sox last month, was an early target of the Marlins, but he took himself out of the running. I think it would be tough if you're Chaim Bloom to, not to make this, you know, a conversation about him, but it would be tough to go from the Red Sox, where you're at least giving like a pretty respectable sized pocketbook to work with, and then you're like, hey, we're the Marlins. Let's can you just do the thing you did with the Rays a while back? So makes sense. They're gonna go with Peter Bendix. This is a guy who can show you the Rays way. So I guess it makes sense, but certainly a shame that Kim Ng was not shown the door, but she was told, hey, we're gonna hire a president of baseball ops above you, and she said, no, not gonna happen. So still a weird way that one ended, with her putting together a team that made the playoffs this year.
It is frustrating to see that end that way. And, you know, I'm sure she will land on her feet. The question is, will there be an opening for a position that she wants to take? You know, like, if she didn't want to have a president of baseball operations above her, and rightly so, she earned the right to refuse that. I absolutely think she was in the right in that. But how many of those jobs are available right now? It's not that many. But yeah, I mean, hey, baseball front offices and particularly owners are not necessarily people that I find myself in agreement with very often at all. So it should come as no surprise that I think that they made the wrong move there.
Are you saying we're the only pro-labor podcast around? I thought that was a roundtable. That was the other thing. Oh, well, still in their shtick.
The other one that I want to talk about is Joey Votto. Is he going to play next year? Because, you know, he posted basically a goodbye to Cincinnati. They did not exercise his option, which I get it. Where are they going to find the at-bats and the playing time for him amidst all those youngsters, you know, at 40 years old? But he's said that he wants to play. So, you know, will he find a team to take him on? Would he sign a minor league deal and try to make a team somewhere? Or would he need a major league deal to sign? I don't know. I hope he sticks around. But then there's also part of me that thinks it would be fitting for him to play his whole career in Cincinnati. So
I think it would be fitting, but I think that's a guy who wants it to be made very clear to him by the game, as he likes to say a lot, that he can't do it anymore. So I think he'd love for his baseball ref to say Cincinnati all the way down. My thought of it, I'm not a GM, I think he's going to get a major league deal somewhere. I think someone, look at Pittsburgh, is a team that could use a little bit of something at first base, even if he's going to hit 215 or something. And there's enough intrigue in that, like, Hall of Fame bat that he could maybe figure something out. He did it 2 years ago. Give him, you know, a $4 million one-year deal. I feel like that's doable. He just picked up $7 million for the buyout. That's not a bad deal right there. Go agents. But I feel like someone's gonna bet on him because if he can flip it on the deadline, it's Joey Votto you have on the trade market. That's a pretty great chip to have. Plus, he can teach young players so much. I mean, consider how much that guy's learned. But I've listened to him so much over the years, and in the recent years talking on Starkville on this feed, he doesn't sound like a guy who's ready to be done yet. He sounds like he's got a lot of enthusiasm about the game, about his craft. And so I don't think he's ready to be done. I could see him potentially going back to the Reds, but I think it's more of a playing time problem there. I think he's going to want to go somewhere he can play rather than just be like, I want to be here from when they win.
Right. And that was the team's explanation too when they put out the release. And they're not going to say, well, he's just not worth $15 million or whatever it was. but they were pretty clear, like, you know, just the play, it's a playing time issue. So that to me signals that he probably wouldn't be back. I keep trying to convince myself that there's a spot for him in Texas just so he could be here. And that would be a lot of fun. But Nathaniel Lowe won a Silver Slugger last year and a Gold Glove this year. I think they're all set up for space.
You mentioned the Gold Glove. There are a couple of them out there. They just went down Sunday night. We just learned these. A couple that caught my eye, Anthony Volpe winning. I saw a tweet that said he's the first Yankees rookie to win a Gold Glove. For all the conversation around him this year, did play incredible defense there at shortstop. And following the footsteps of a shortstop, famously not maybe so golden in the glove in Derek Jeter. What? But the one that I was watching for as a former Pirates writer was Kip Ryan Hayes. This guy has deserved a Gold Glove for a while. He has not hit as well as a lot of people would hope in the major leagues. I think he found something a little bit in the back half of this year, but he's always had an incredible glove, son of Charlie Hayes. And he finally got his. It was sort of like, when can you finally take down Nolan Arenado? Well, this was the year to finally do it. Nathaniel Lowe and Adolis Garcia just both won them on the defending champs. And Gabriel Moreno, I saw, won one. And Christian Walker did as well for the runners-up. Any others that caught your eye?
Yeah, three short notes, two of them Rangers-centric. Nathaniel Lowe was the worst first baseman in baseball last year, defensively. And he worked this past offseason with Francisco Lindor, among other people, and put in a lot of hard work. And to win a Gold Glove the year after being literally, this is like statistically the worst first baseman in the league, man, what a turnaround for him. The other Rangers one is Jonah Heim, also won at catcher. That's two catchers in a row that have been coached by Bobby Wilson, former journeyman catcher, who is now the Rangers catching coach. Jose Trevino, when he was here, was under Bobby and then went to the Yankees and won a Gold Glove. Now you've got Jonah Heim doing it this year. So that's, you know, kudos to both Jonah and also to Bobby Wilson. And then also just, I need the Rockies to be more interesting. I need them to play more games that matter. I want to love, I was born like an hour north of Denver. I want to love the Rockies. But Brenton Doyle won a Gold Glove. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I've heard that name before. But he just won a Gold. Like, I should absolutely know that name. The Rockies have just been so far off my radar. Even in a year where I am writing a national newsletter, I need them to do better. I need them to be better so that I can be more familiar with their players and watch their games more. Please, come on, Rockies. Please do better.
Yeah, if you played fantasy baseball, you may have run into Brenton Doyle this year. I certainly did. If you're chasing a little cheap power, a little some steals, I don't get credit for Gold Gloves, but he has one now in the bag. Yeah, I heard they used to have a third baseman that won a couple of them, but I'll leave it there. I'll run down a couple names real quick before we get out of this. Guys who have hit the free agent market, if you're not paying super close attention, Tim Anderson, and this, I'm not even going to name how, it's either options got declined by the player or the club, or they've opted out. Cody Bellinger is a big one. Marcus Stroman, Wade Miley, Eduardo Rodriguez, Hector Neris, Liam Hendricks. I could see someone doing like a two-year deal with him because he's going to be out this year with Tommy John. Whit Merrifield, Mike Clevenger, Lance Lynn, Clayton Kershaw having shoulder surgery. He's also a free agent. Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Nick Martinez, Jorge Soler. And then a couple guys going back. That is not a complete list, just some names that jumped out to me. Josh Bell is going back to the Marlins. He opted back into, I think it was a player option. Andrew Heaney, Jose Clark, both going back to Texas. They're bringing champs.
One final note from me. Eduardo Rodriguez, remember just a couple months ago when he like refused to trade to the Dodgers? He was like, I like being here. And then he went ahead and opted out. He may end up back in Detroit with a different contract, but I just thought that was, you know, I don't know anything about the reasoning why he opted out. I just thought that was an interesting little contrast there.
My official answer is, hey, good for agents and players getting that opt out and using it to however they want to use it. The reporting from Ken Rosenthal was that he was trying to get more money. I think it was like a guaranteed extra year or something, extra money. Go back and read Ken Rosenthal from the Dodgers, and he didn't get it, so he didn't go. But yeah, it was always assumed as long as he finished okay, he was going to opt out. He finished just well enough, but an injury midseason kind of derailed things. Hey, before we get out of here, we can just quickly touch on the postseason homer chase, the on-deck arcade. We have so much fun doing this all year, like legitimately. I had a lot of fun digging into random teams, trying to find someone to give me two homers in a week. So I won the regular season homer chase. You won the regular season arms race. It wasn't even close. I'll have to brush up in some way for next year. And the postseason homer chase goes to Levi Weaver. 9-5. The World Series really didn't do us any favors. We only got one, and that was to you, Tommy Pham. But that was a learning experience. We did great. I enjoyed that one.
Wait, so I won by 4 in the postseason. How much did you win by in the regular season?
I think it was like one or two. It was very close.
Okay, so by win is just run differential.
I would probably had spring training one, so we just didn't start early enough.
Okay, we'll call that a draw, and I'll still take the win on the pitching one.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. All right, it's time for us to go. Thanks for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for producing today's show. You can find our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $2 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS. I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. We'll be back at some point. We're wrapping up the regular season here, or wrapping up the postseason here, and we'll figure out what's next on the feed. And we'll be back to you very shortly. And we'll be back as soon as we have something more of What's on Deck.
See you later. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.